a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's producer Andy from the RSL Show joining you in post-production. Quick producer's note. This episode was recorded by Jake and Josh on a single laptop, and so the quality is not going to be what you guys are used to, but I promise the content is good. You're going to want to listen to that, and I promise your ears will eventually adjust. Remember to check us out at RSL Show. Go give at KSL Sports a follow as well. Guys, I can't express it enough. Twitter is where it's at right now. If you've been anti-Twitter, you don't want a Twitter, forget that. Join, follow at RSL Show. Give us a follow. Get involved in the conversation. A lot of crazy things happening at the club, and that's where you're going to get your news first. Sit back, enjoy the show, have a good weekend. We'll be back next week.
Hey, welcome to the RSL Show. I'm Jake.
I'm Joshua.
It's just us today. It's like the old times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Josh, how's your day been today?
Oh, man. Way less hectic than yours, but I am still exhausted. I can't imagine how you're feeling.
Vindicated comes to mind?
Yeah, that's a good word to use.
Yeah.
I feel this weird sense of relief in a way.
Yeah.
That's strange. That's a weird thing to say during these times, but...
but it's accurate.
It's accurate.
Yeah. So, just this episode is...
is us covering the Colorado match.
Yeah, we're just going to go over beating Colorado.
Again.
Yay! Rocky Mountain Cup points. That's why we're exhausted from today, because we're so excited that RSL beat Colorado.
This is Sunday, time of recording.
No, I mean, if you've had your head in the sand, today is the DeLoy Hansen shoots himself in the foot episode.
Yeah. Which we all knew was coming.
Yeah.
If you've listened to this show, we've talked about almost everything that has come to light today.
In ways.
Yes, we've beat around the bush many times, right? But this has all been kind of discussed one way or another on the show.
Yeah, and I think we'll go into a lot of the sort of backstory to this stuff. Mm-hmm. But when Josh and I were talking about how we do this episode, we were talking about we should just start at the top of the morning and kind of break down
the events. Start with
last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last night, RSL is supposed to play LAFC, second game in the second stretch of MLS's back. In kind of leading into that game, the NBA saw some really interesting things happening. Milwaukee Bucks and the Los Angeles Lakers and other teams decided to boycott / strike, because
things,
it is a strike.
Technically. Things we haven't seen in our lifetime.
Never. Just not play the games because of the shooting of Jacob Blake.
Right. And everything that followed. So there's a lot socially going on that is weighing on people's minds, especially people of color. It's got to be hard.
Yeah, for black and brown people, these times are incredibly difficult.
Right.
And we've said this before. We will say it again. We stand behind them 100%.
Yep.
Black Lives Matter. Now, forever, they should have mattered to a lot more people for a lot longer.
Yep.
It's interesting. I mentioned this earlier. The first protest in sport over race was 50 years ago. And we're still having the same conversation.
Yep.
So take that as kind of the overarching context of RSL and LAFC see this happening.
Along those lines, Colin Kaepernick was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Which
to the day, yesterday.
Feels like a lot.
It really does. So Mark Anthony Kay, LAFC player, yesterday tweets that we should not play this game tonight. That leads to a conversation between Zach McMath and Nedim Onuoha about that same thing from the RSL perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't there at this point, but you were already at the stadium.
Yep.
Tell us what you saw as the teams came out.
So prior, I just saw the two speaking. I saw a lot of assistant coaches giving the cut motion to
yeah.
the next, right? Like, this ain't happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two teams came on the field. RSL first, followed by LAFC. All wearing their BLM shirts. Also wearing jeans, cargo shorts, whatever they wore to the stadium. At that point, it was very apparent the game wasn't happening.
Yeah.
At this point, they're still letting people into the stadium to get. But it was wild to me how many people aren't really paying attention to what's going on. Because even as I was leaving, there were still people streaming to the stadium. But yeah, that's kind of what I saw up to that point. And then you came, we kind of discussed, you know, what was going on and watched the almost ceremony of, we're not playing, this is us protesting happen on the field.
Yeah. Kind of crazy, like more than a little crazy.
It was, yeah, I don't want to say moving, but I'm thankful I was there.
I get that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a moment in history that I can say I'm proud that I witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of both teams. I really am. I would have felt weird if they decided to play. The body language of the players, they didn't want to play. You could just, something was off and it just wasn't right.
Yeah. I think that's the general sense that I got from the statements from players last night is that mentally they just weren't there.
Right, and you can't blame them.
No, it's totally understandable to say, in the light of everything that is happening, we cannot perform, and we don't want to.
Right.
Nothing's
changing. We're protesting by taking a knee, getting booed, wearing these shirts. Nothing's changing, so let's take it that next step.
Yeah, and it's so. I've been asked a lot today about, like, what I think of players taking that step and using the field as the platform. And I can only say that, like, when that's the platform you've been given,
then use it.
There's no
right.
better place than to do it.
It's like saying you and I shouldn't use the podcast platform. We should just be doing it on Twitter.
Yeah, or, like, only talk about soccer on the podcast.
No.
Negative.
Yep.
Sorry.
And if that's what you're here for, turn it off now, unsubscribe, unfollow me on Twitter, unfollow the show on Twitter.
So here's what I would say. If you disagree with us, I would rather you reach out to me because I want to have a talk
sure.
with you.
But
like,
you know what I mean?
If
the conversation is going to be you just being demeaning and telling me
yeah.
that I'm a leftist, Marxist, terrorist, whatever, then just don't even attempt. Because I'm not going to play that game.
I was talking to Allie this morning, actually, and I said, it is so hard to be in the middle of the political conversation that is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there isn't a group
that I fit in.
That I fit in.
Right.
As
I have
like,
my beliefs.
As
right?
like a human being, right? Like, I am pro some conservative things. I'm pro some liberal things.
But both sides have things that I completely disagree with.
Exactly. Yep. But because I agree with Black Lives Matter.
Right. I'm pro-human.
Yeah.
Right? I'm pro-morals.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Pro-truth.
Yes.
Like, it's so hard to be pro-truth these days. We'll talk a lot more about that later. Yeah. But, so, Josh and I had an interesting conversation at the stadium last night with the one and only Brian Dunseth about what this all means and where it all goes.
Right.
Because the flag that was planted in the ground, and I think you said it the best, like, this is a line, and how you go back from this
is
you can't.
Right.
So what does it mean going forward? So what do you think, like, what were you thinking last night as we left the stadium?
As I left the stadium, my real thoughts were, if this is the stand they're going to take, I feel like the stand needs to last more than one match.
Sure.
Otherwise, this is a blip on the radar, right? This is something that's easily forgotten. Not easily forgotten, but easily pushed aside, and the games happen, and the conversation is different. It's about the game now, right?
Yeah.
Now, I feel like that's changed now that Deloitte has come out and made a complete ass of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because now there's something that'll keep that conversation going.
Yes.
But if I'm a player, I don't play for this man.
Yeah. So let's talk about why. So last night happens, and part of the conversation we were having was, what's going to be the repercussions of all of this? Like, how does Deloitte respond?
Mm-hmm.
We were joking around that, like, Andy Carroll was probably running around with his hair on fire in the stadium.
Well, I can tell you, our good friends Terry Meyer, Matt Gash, and Tyler Gibbons absolutely were. I could just see them pacing on the phone, not having a good time.
Yeah.
And before we get too far into this, I really do personally feel for all the ticket reps, all the back-end people, coaching staffs, anyone that prepared for this game, and anyone that has to deal with anything that's coming.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them. They're all great human beings, and there's a handful of people that are literally ruining it all for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That aren't...
Props to you guys for having to deal with this.
And those aren't the players. The players are not ruining this for people.
No. This is man at the top and man at the top side.
Yeah. So we are... This is kind of where it starts to get really interesting. We were preparing to record this podcast tonight. We had reached out to Nedum, to Andy Carroll, to some other people to be on the show tonight.
We might be doing some emergency interviews later on this week.
Josh is over here working.
Hey, you know what? If we're going to be on a station or whatever.
A network.
If we're going to be legitimate, let's be legitimate.
That's what I'm talking about. So, wake up this morning, and I'm not going to lie, woke up thinking, oh, hello, Andy Williams texting me. I woke up thinking, something is going to happen today. Maybe.
We both, back to yesterday, as we're leaving, after we've had this discussion of where does it go from here with our friends, right? We both left talking, going, this isn't over.
Yeah.
Right? That something's going to happen, whether it be further boycotts or what happened, right?
Hold on, I'm going to stop it. Sorry, we had to take a quick break because this is an evolving thing.
Right, there's so much coming in.
It is, like, here's the deal. We are 6:20 p.m. Wednesday, Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
and this is going to go all night. It's going to go all
night.
Yeah,
we should have just posted up for an online podcast.
Yeah. This is crazy. So... Maybe we'll talk about that thing that just came in later.
So that's for the timeline.
I have two laptops going. Josh has his iPad.
I got two
phones.
Like, I have a laptop I can bust out, but
it's like,
you know what?
It's nonstop, dude. I can't. Where did my phone even go?
It's right here.
Okay.
You know, I never, like, don't want to make us sound cooler than we really are, but this is making me realize that maybe our show pulls more weight than I thought it did.
Yeah, I think the bigger thing is we have positioned ourselves incredibly well to be
credible
and very in no. Yeah, and we call it like it is.
Yep.
It's really funny though because we have. So the reason we didn't do the podcast on Monday is we had some conversations with the front office about
pretty much everything.
Yeah, and like it's
not knowing what was happening,
not knowing that this was going on. So then Thursday morning, wake up and I have this sense that something's happening, and I feel like you had that sense when we were leaving last night. Dunny had that sense
immediately
after, and then I'm in my first meeting of the day, and I get a text that says Deloitte's going on X96.
So I see Dunny's tweet,
yeah,
and I immediately am like, "This man's gonna talk."
Yeah. So we,
oh Lord.
Yeah. So how many times over the years have we tried to get Deloitte Hansen on this podcast?
Too many.
Too many times. What was the thing that Trey always said?
He'll get himself in trouble.
He'll get himself in trouble.
That's why he doesn't have a Twitter.
Every single person we have talked to about having Deloitte Hansen on this podcast has said, absolutely not.
There's not a chance in hell.
No. And the one way that we were close to having it happen was because it wasn't live, there was the chance that they could maybe have some editorial control, and or somebody could say, he's not going to answer that question.
Right. You have a...
So not editorial control, but he would have a handler.
A handler saying, don't answer that. Like they do with the players.
Yes. So that... But that never happened. In fact... Yeah, I'm going to say this. When I first heard about it, how they've been treating Andy Williams, not first heard about it, but when I finally was able to speak to Andy about it late last week, I texted a couple of people and said, I need you to put me in a room with Deloitte Hansen now.
Mm-hmm.
And they all said, that's probably not going to happen. And I said, I just need 10 minutes. Not on the podcast, entirely off the record. I just need 10 minutes with that man. I understand why they said no, especially in the light of today. But so he goes on X96 and...
Should we just read the comments?
Yeah, I want to give a little bit of context around why X96.
Because he owns it.
He owns X96. And from what I understand, that was not them asking him to come on.
No, I imagine he said, I need to get something off my chest.
Yes.
I own you. You're probably my biggest show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, X96 is the biggest morning radio show in the state.
Yeah, Radio From Hell, it's a big show.
No question.
They had no choice. And you could tell during this interview that Gina, they wanted to say something, but I could hear them being afraid for their jobs.
Yeah, I don't actually think, because Carrie, we'll talk about the Carrie tweet.
Yes.
But basically, there was a lot of ass-kissing happening in this.
Right. Which sucks.
Yeah.
But I get it.
No, I get it.
Because radio morning jobs aren't a hot commodity anymore.
No, and they don't pay well.
Right. So you got to hold on to what you got. It sucks. But that's the exact reason when we signed with KSL that we're not being controlled by KSL.
Yeah. One of the craziest things about this whole interview is Bill goes, you know, we have to go to a break.
And he said, oh.
And he goes,
this was unreal.
Yeah. He's like, okay, yeah, make that money. You got to sell those sponsorships. Sell those ads.
Yep.
That's terrifying.
Wow. And then he goes, okay, we can miss this ad. I need to keep
saying you can miss this 30-second ad because I need to keep talking.
Yep.
So Josh is just going to read us.
I have the transcript.
So we're going to read this. This is found on rslsoapbox.com.
Right, because it has been pulled down.
Yeah, that's the other side of it. They pulled the video down from YouTube.
Too late, buddies. Too late. You're a little late on that. Should have never happened in the first place. Thankful it did.
Okay, so here goes
Josh.
So
should we pick and choose, or should we just read the whole thing?
No, let's just read the really gnarly ones.
Okay.
So context of this is Andy and Deloitte in the X96 Radio From Hell studio, and quite frankly, it is just Deloitte venting about why he's upset that the players striked last night and did not play the game.
Right. So I'm going to start with this one. This is Deloitte Hansen speaking. LA decided not to take the field. I think it was a lot of pressure that was coming from leagues. The NHL played their games that very night, which they hadn't yet. That is false. They had not, tipped off yet? Portland and LA and the USL played at the same time. It's the USL. I don't know that this is even in the same conversation. no offense to USO, of course. I think there was pressure through various groups, and there was a lot of indecision. Our team was fully prepared to play until 6:10, and at 6:10, communication came through Zach McMath, and people were, what should we do? Also, it was far later than 6:10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't even there yet at 6:10. This is not.
I want to see. I would have to look and see what time. Oh, I turned my microphone.
It was like 6:43?
Yeah, I'd have to look and see what time,
I
rolled into the parking lot, but I didn't get there until at least 6:20.
Right.
At least. And they were still questioning whether or not they would play at that time.
I'm sadly disappointed that we didn't weigh the effect for $12 an hour employees, who we shook hands with an hour later and said, you won't have a job here. We will not be inviting fans back to the stadium in the future. Monday, I have to cut 40 to 50 jobs again. We would not go through the risk of inviting people back to have that kind of an outcome. This is long. Should we stop here?
Let's stop there and, what did I touch?
Did we lose this recording?
No, it's just my microphone. Oh, wait, hold on. It's probably just my headphones.
Hey.
This is what happens
when
Andy's not here. Let's talk about that for a minute.
I'm shocked that he's so concerned about the $12 an hour employees now.
So
that's the first part.
And we're going to go into this a little bit more as we talk about the response to some of this stuff, because later on he talks about how great Nedum is for having helped people financially through the furloughs.
That's such a slap in the face.
I know.
I can't.
He's a billionaire and he didn't do it.
Nedum,
he's a billionaire and he didn't do it.
Nedum used the money he was contractually owed by Deloy Hansen to help Deloy Hansen's employees.
It's insane. So the number of like crazy statements packed into that one paragraph.
This is one of the more shocking.
Yeah, like,
and
okay.
It's right at the beginning. My jaw is on my desk at this point.
Yeah, so
I'm shocked.
We're not going to invite people back to the stadium now. But he's punishing
fans that are paying money, right? Like, I understand that they're somewhat getting inconvenienced by the game not happening. I don't want to say punish. It's not a punishment,
no,
I think.
Inconvenience. Yeah.
But A, he's already assuming that there aren't going to be any games.
No, he's saying we're not going to have fans back.
Right. So,
but that he's saying that because he doesn't want to be. He doesn't have the similar outcome, so he's not even going
to
invite people back.
Okay, so way to jump the gun.
His decision is to not have fans back in the stadium, which is probably fine anyways.
Right.
Although
a smart decision.
Yeah. Although it was, and we were there really early. What they're doing makes it feel really safe.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine.
Yeah.
Right? I understand if you don't want to go. It was really well done. But then, like, just the pettiness of it.
Right. He fired the $12 an hour employees within an hour.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's crazy. Also, I heard that a lot of those people were actually just interns. And I haven't verified that yet, because what I have heard is he hasn't brought a soul back.
No.
Not a single person.
This 40 to 50 jobs coming back, I question.
Yeah. I have unconfirmed sources telling me that no one that was furloughed has been brought back.
Right. If anything, people on reduced salaries were maybe bumped up back to their normal salary.
Maybe. Go on.
The question that comes in, the sad part, I'm very, very supportive of an inclusive, fairly liberal agenda. Bullshit. That is who I am.
Beep.
Bullshit.
Beep.
It's going to be very hard to.
We got to keep reining it in.
Right, but shit's going to be said. Sorry, Bill.
That's fine.
Maybe the agenda has gotten so far that we're punishing all sides of society who would love to support an inclusive society.
Yep.
But then you do that. The fact saying, because maybe you're so accommodating or you're caring that you can be easily slapped. And I take it as a profound slap at our community value structure of trying to build an organization that develops youth, supports the community through our foundations, that reaches to employ 250 people here.
Yeah.
With minimum wage jobs. And then when it says, there's another issue in society, why don't we punish you? While I don't know that that's the direct intention, that's the end result.
Pause.
Okay.
So this is where it goes really, really off the rails for me.
Real bad.
Because the disconnection between what the players are saying and what this man thinks is happening needs to be noted.
Right.
So as he goes on, he talks about the national protests.
Right.
And it's the fact that he does not recognize that this stuff is happening in Salt Lake City.
Right.
Josh just told me there's a police shooting tonight.
I don't know the context, but it happened again.
Literally while we're recording.
And I've personally been a part of many protests that have been violently broken up by police officers that were completely peaceful. Don't come at me. I was there, you were not. I don't have patience for this shit.
I know.
Sorry.
It's
I'm
fine.
Having a real hard
it's
time.
Fine. We'll make Andy go in to bleep him because he wasn't here.
But then to say that we need to ignore the issues because I'm trying to develop youth and support communities through a foundation that's in debt through his own money.
Yeah, and the foundation, what the foundation has done, I'll give them, they've raised money for frontline workers through COVID. However,
they're not taking care of their own.
They're only building futsal courts.
Right.
Mostly.
Like, I'm appreciative of that.
Yeah.
But are you really helping the community that much?
I would argue no.
No.
And I think that we can talk about the financial and tax implications of the RSL Foundation at a later date, because we've seen some stuff.
It's another layer.
It's another layer. Anyways.
Hold on. Back to this. Why don't we punish you? So he feels personally punished because the players are trying to make a statement about what's affecting them day to day?
Yeah. That is one of the overarching themes of this whole thing. And even in his second interview today at 3 o'clock, it was about him.
And that interview, don't even want to talk about it because that was even more ridiculous than this one. It was so scripted.
Yeah. It's okay. Spence Checkitz thinks that I tweeted this to get retweets. So we'll talk more about
Spence
that later.
Spence Checkitz is something else.
We'll talk about it later.
Yes. Okay. A lot of people will be punished.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about his interpretation of this is that all of the people that he now has to go lay off are the ones who are being punished.
Because he missed one day of hot dog money from 5,000 people?
Yeah. And
all of these people need to be laid off?
Yes. In his mind, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this several times today. From a business standpoint, operationally, it is hard to operate when you don't have cash flow.
Right.
However,
there's gains in the future.
And, but also, if you're a billionaire,
and you're that quick to lay people off?
Yeah, no, it's more like have a heart, and the idea that you can't take a loss as a billionaire.
Myself, God forbid.
You.
I do the right thing and use my money.
Yeah, he bought a $1.3 million penny not 6 months ago.
Right, and I hate harking back to that damn penny.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be that blatantly ridiculous.
He has made a killing
off of this
in
whole COVID situation.
A killing.
Yeah.
He has bought companies. He has bought property. All of the things.
Right.
But.
So the fact that this $70,000 payroll
yeah.
is going to break him.
I mean, I'm
get
dealing.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I mean, it's just insane. It's absolutely
it's ridiculous.
Insane. But,
it's asinine.
Yeah. But it's how billionaires become and stay billionaires. And you can talk to Kyle Sipple all about his thoughts on billionaires for
right.
that whole conversation.
Right.
You're welcome, Kyle.
We'll have to lay off people from our foundation today. Again, we'll have to lay off people from Levy, our food, real food.
Real food.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, it's real food now.
Oh, is it
real
food?
No, I'm just saying real food. The implications become profound. Also, pause.
Love's profound.
Holy shit. How many times does he say profound today?
He loves it.
It's ridiculous.
At least 30 times.
At least. We don't know if players will go to Portland. We don't know that. We're all still sitting here at the organization trying to build support and love around the team that supports the city. All I can say is they supported other issues nationally. They clearly did not support our city or organization. That's fairly clear.
Okay, stop. Are you serious?
You're obviously not paying attention to what's going on in the world.
Not at all. Not at all. And this is where it gets to be, I use the word privilege, and everyone's kind of harping on it, but I think if you really don't even know that these things happen in Salt Lake City, that is privilege. You can call it an ivory tower, you can call it whatever you want.
Yep.
But that man sitting in the top of the Wells Fargo building, looking down on all of us peons, can't see the fact that this is happening in Salt Lake.
Right before his eyes.
Oh!
Today, okay. The other thing, this isn't in here,
mm-hmm.
but if I hear him talk about his son-in-law that's at the medical school,
where Jacob Blake is.
Right. That doesn't put you in the front line of this, buddy.
Nope.
That doesn't put you over anyone else that's hurting. It doesn't do anything for you.
So, I'm not even going to say that one.
That's like me going, I have an uncle in Wisconsin, so it really gets me deep.
Yeah. It's great. It's great.
Here's the fun one.
Oh,
one of the fun ones.
Oh my God, here we go.
It's a moment of sadness. It's like somebody stabbed you, and you're trying to figure out a way to pull the knife out and move forward. That's what it feels like. Their disrespect is profound to me personally.
Just let
me,
that... Just
me, 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 me.
Just let it marinate. It's... I mean, this is what kind of... Like, I was upset...
This one put me over the edge.
This one put me over the edge. And the reason it put me over the edge is because it, again, negates and dismisses the entire message that the players are trying to get across. It's not about Deloitte Hansen.
No.
It never was.
It's not even about Real Salt Lake.
No. It has nothing to do, let alone, like, ignore the fact that the man is a terrible racist, which we'll talk about later. We've alluded to this for years.
Right. And misogynist and
sexist.
Predator, all of them.
Yeah.
I can't believe we were having drinks with the front office just Monday.
It's wild.
In perspective.
It's wild.
And you know what?
So,
apologies that we missed an episode, because that would have been a fun episode.
Yeah.
But we were really trying to get our heels in a little more and see if we could get something else.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Turns out,
this is the last quote I'm going to use.
Okay,
because there's a lot more, but it, you know, it's just
we'll spend hours talking about the quotes.
Right, but this is the other one that it's probably the second worst one, but this one's real bad too.
Yeah, ready to go.
It's taken a lot of wind out of my sails. What effort I want to put in recruiting players and building a great team, it just seems that that's not a very good path to take.
Womp.
This MF-er is inconvenienced one time.
One time.
And wants to completely give up on this team.
Yeah.
That he pretends like he recruits and puts money into.
Yeah, so that's the bigger thing to me. Come again?
Yeah.
One more time? Who? You buy players? Which,
Simpson.
By the way, let's talk about the buy players thing real quick. A lot of people on Twitter were freaking out about the term buy players. That is standard in Major League Soccer. Ooh. Yeah. So the other, I actually had a phone call with somebody today. They were like, really concerned about the fact that the comments were being interpreted as racist. And I said, I think it's a misunderstanding around the term buy players, which is not a great way to put it, but that's what you're doing. You're
right.
Buying the rights to a player, and
that's soccer.
And we talk about that all the time. It's not intended to be that way. However, context
that's
in
how
today's
he looks at it.
Yeah, but in today's terminology, like I see people not even calling master bedrooms anymore because
right.
of the context of slavery.
Right.
So there is this thread that maybe we should stop calling it by
right.
buying players.
It should just be transferring.
You're buying a player, the player pass.
Right.
You're buying the rights to the player.
You're paying that team to let them leave.
Yeah, you're not.
It's not a situation unless it's within the league itself where you can just trade.
Trade. Yeah, and trade
is a worldwide market, not a. It's not like the NFL where it's X amount of teams.
No, and trades don't generally happen in soccer outside of the even in the U.S.
Yeah, it's very rare.
You sell a player for TAM or GAM or something,
right.
You know?
And, like, maybe throw in a player to, like, sweeten the deal.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Okay, so then all hell breaks loose.
Twitter, I mean, we're guilty. Twitter blows up.
I mean, I'm not mad.
No, it's nice.
So the thing that really bothers me is, had Dunny not mentioned this to several of us, everyone misses it.
Yep. This reaction is very delayed until one person sees that someone tweeted, like, holy shit, did you read that?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe we miss it entirely because they take the quotes down.
Entirely possible.
Yep.
But
that's not what happened. Thank you, Brian Dunzo.
Hero. Legend. And then my day went off the rails.
No.
But.
That's why I call you Hollywood.
Oh my god. Haven't been called that in a while. So then it blows up, and we spend the rest of the day digging and coordinating and trying to arrange interviews and find out throughout the morning that a couple of things are happening. One, players were told no practices would be held, but they all had to go get their COVID tests, because if they don't get their COVID tests, they get fined and suspended by the team. The suspension is 14 days.
Right. I think saying that they were kicked out of the stadium by Deloitte is off base a little bit, because some of the people I've talked to, it's the team just decided not to practice just to come in and have a test.
So what we were told is barred from the stadium.
Right, which is harsh.
Harsh. However, contextually, maybe not entirely false.
Right. It's just we haven't verified,
yeah,
per se.
Well, Deloitte came on and told the story in the 3 o'clock interview.
With McMath.
Yeah. And, like, basically what happened is he went and talked to Zach McMath, and Zach said, I don't know if we should hold practice. Which, why the hell is Deloitte dealing with that, right? Like, that's
right,
a head coach issue.
Talking McMath.
Yeah. So he says, he then called the coaching staff and said, hey, maybe we shouldn't have a training today because the guys haven't decided. Having worked with Deloitte for almost a year at one point, the tone that he said that with in the interview,
mm-hmm,
was not the tone with which he made that phone call.
Oh, for sure. It was a very pissed off
phone
call.
It was a very pissed off phone call. Guaranteed.
I'm sure there were expletives.
Yeah.
And
I'm positive. So the team doesn't go to training, and immediately the coaching staff, the front office, and Deloitte are in a meeting figuring out how to deal with this and whether or not the team is going to travel.
Who do you think was in that meeting with Twitter open, just, like, letting them know?
I can think of a couple of people.
Me too. But do you think they were actually telling them, or do you think they were like, this is so bad?
So one of our good friends who works there was not in the office today, I can tell you that. In that meeting, the only person that I know that is on Twitter is Freddie. That, like, is will tell you he's on Twitter.
Right.
Right? I know that there are people who report on the goings-on,
right,
on Twitter,
right,
to certain people. I imagine that was
happening. The best part about this is there's no way they could keep up if they tried.
I couldn't.
No. I still haven't read tweets.
No.
I know I've liked some for just to get things.
Yeah.
But I drown.
It's insane.
I love it. No, I don't, actually.
Well, I do.
I hate that it's in this I wish it was because we just won a championship or just signed Messi. You know, I wish it was something totally different.
Well, that's what Trey said to me. He said today was the first time since 2013 that an ESPN notification has hit his phone
regarding
about RSL.
I got one about Pecky.
Oh, that probably makes sense.
But
also not good.
Since 2013... the focus every year has not been on the team or the play. It has been on actions of Deloitte Hansen or one of his staff members.
Yep. Fun. I love it. So let's back up for 2 seconds.
All right. Put it in reverse.
What was your thought coming out of that interview? Personally, how were you positioning yourself as an RSL fan going forward?
I immediately canceled my season tickets and I wanted to punch someone in the face. I was pissed.
In that order.
I was pissed.
Yeah.
I questioned why we do the show. I questioned why I care. I questioned if I even want to support the team anymore at all.
How many RSL tattoos do you have? Five?
Three or four or five, something. Many.
Yeah, I have three.
I questioned so many things. My heart and soul has been in this team for many years.
15 years.
If not.
Yeah.
Not really more.
That's how old, yeah. You know what I mean. But what do you do?
That's the thing, because like our one shirt says, we were here before you, we'll be here after you. But in the interim, what do I do?
Yeah.
Right? And I don't know. Obviously, we're still here. So that I had that conversation in my head and cleared it up. I will always support the team on the field. I'll always support my friends that work there. But in the meantime, I will not spend a red cent while Deloitte Hansen is in charge.
Yeah, I think that's
fine. And I will be as critical as I can be, more so than I was before. We've held back.
Oh, so many
times. We've held back so bad. You guys don't even know. A lot of stuff that's coming out today, we've known.
And tried to expose for years.
Without getting ourselves in legal trouble.
Josh and I were joking around about, I had a burner phone number at one time as I was trying to collect information from people who we knew had non-disclosure agreements.
Right.
The crazy thing is the biggest one still hasn't come out.
Right. It will.
I really hope so.
I wish we could find a way to break in.
Brands. Oh, man. I'm done, dude. I'm in full, like, scorched earth mode.
Right. No, that's me. Scorched earth, but at the same time, still supporting the boys.
Yeah.
Just not supporting the boys' pocket, which... It's hard because it will take a toll on the spending on the team and people being furloughed or whatever, but it's a zero tolerance kind of thing. We can't continue this repetitious...
Mm-hmm. It's cycle.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle. And this is the only way to do it, and it sucks. I hate it.
Yeah.
But I don't even want to watch it on TV because I don't want them getting my ad revenue, right? I'm going to record it. I don't know if that counts.
Probably. I mean, and that's the balance that Josh and I are talking about. How do we strike? Do we go to the game with
and
a press pass?
Just be honorary cusses?
Yeah. Do we watch the games? Because we believe that the boys, the team, deserve all of our support
right
now.
Because we believe in what their message is.
Yeah.
If we completely disappear, their message is lost.
Yeah.
Right?
How much do we want to talk about? Well, we can't talk about that. That's fine.
Which one?
We
have to keep pausing so we can discuss it. Legalities, I guess?
No,
we're going to get in trouble for saying certain things?
Yeah, I think the balance that we still have to strike is verifiable
right
information.
Right. I don't want to be spewing something that's false and then have them use that against whatever.
Yeah. So post the interview, I just want to talk about a couple of things that hit. Rebecca Cade mentioned something. If you don't remember Rebecca Cade,
she's Samantha Yeebrock.
Mm-hmm, she was the sideline reporter for a very short time. Did not have a good time at RSL.
Kind of left unceremoniously.
Very unceremoniously.
Yep.
Check out her tweet. Then Andy, what's his name? The Trib reporter started asking for
Andrew
people.
Andy Larson.
Andy Larson
yep.
said, hey, if you had a bad experience with Deloitte Hansen as an employee or a former employee, share your stories here. If you haven't read that thread, it is insane.
I reported a lot of bots.
Good.
On that thread.
Good. Around the same time, I was getting direct message after direct message after direct message from current and former employees around several instances of racism, sexual harassment, generally inappropriate business behavior, like threatening to kill someone with a baseball bat in
yep.
the middle of a meeting.
Yep.
There are also some things that I was asked to keep quiet for now that broke my heart. Coordinating...
Pause for a minute?
Yeah. Sorry, conference again.
I feel bad for Andy editing this.
I know. That's fine.
We're just going to leave the breaks in. Yeah. It shows the seriousness of the issues we're discussing.
Yeah, and it's an active situation. Like, we're going to talk about all the things we found out in the 42 minutes we've been recording this,
yeah.
Which, by the way, we gotta wrap it up.
I think we're going another half hour, 45. I'm sorry.
Sorry, buckle in, everybody. We're trying to keep these to 45 minutes, but it's a big day.
This isn't something to just kind of go over.
Should we do part one, part two?
I don't know, because we're both really emotional. No, I
just mean have Andy break it up.
No.
Okay. So, Andy Larson's Twitter thread, all the things that are coming out.
Insane.
In the background, phone calls are happening. And we find out that the conversation has been escalated to the Major League Soccer Board of Governors as a disciplinary action is potentially pending for Deloy Hanson, which could include removal of his franchisee rights. So,
which is big.
Massive. Has happened one other time in this country that I can think of.
I think it may have happened with Chivas.
Maybe.
I don't remember. We'll
look into it.
Matt, correct us.
Yeah. So, essentially, they were having a conversation about whether or not Deloy Hanson was good for the league as an owner.
Right.
Pretty safe to argue no.
Hasn't been.
No.
I know we're a small market, but I feel like RSL brings a lot to the table.
Yeah. And in the past has brought far more to the table.
Right.
So, if you get this franchise operating correctly,
could really be good for the league.
It could be really good for the league. So those conversations are happening. At the same time, The Athletic is prepping a barn burner.
The torpedo.
Yeah, a barn burner of an article.
Which they've been working on
for
a while, but I think the events of today was like, all right, let's get this out.
Yeah, so what I told my sister is, like, we've been sitting on this. Sam Stachkol has been sitting on this. Trey Fitzgerald has been sitting on this. Several other people who know things have been sitting on it for years,
yep.
Kind of like putting out feelers to see if large outlets were ready to tell this story. What we needed was a moment.
Right.
And this is the moment.
There's no better moment.
No. And we thought about it with the whole Petke thing, frankly.
Right.
Like, that was a good opportunity, but Deloy made the right decision.
Yeah.
This is funny in its own right. But, so several people were communicating with Sam around who to talk to. We were trying to organize more stories from within the organization.
Many were left out. They could do a part two of this article and blow your damn mind.
Yeah. The problem is, and it's the same conversations we've been having as we turn the microphones off.
People are possibly still active in the league. They don't want to.
And if they're not willing to go on record about it, we can't talk about it. So, like, the fact that Rebecca Cade said something,
shocking,
massive. The fact that some other people haven't, understandable.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah.
Somebody just texted me and said, so those comments, how do I get my money back for tickets? Well,
yeah, email your rep.
Email your rep. So, sorry, I'm still getting over a cold. I don't have COVID, I got tested.
The Jake Rona virus.
Yeah. So it's kind of a waiting game at that point, speaking to people, waiting for the article to drop, and
right.
Then the article drops.
Well, so first, before the article drops.
You're right. 3 o'clock.
Well, there's other things too. There's Nadum on the BBC talking about how he doesn't want to play for this man. Don't blame him. I imagine there's many other players that are on league minimums that they feel the same sentiment, but they can't say anything, right?
Yeah. I mean, Nick Raimondo comments, Donovan Mitchell comments.
Oh, yeah.
So many people comment.
Everyone. Where was I going with this?
The Nadum comments.
Yes. Those are damning in themselves, right?
Yeah.
You're potentially losing some of your best players because you're a piece of shit, right?
Shiz's shrimp bar, visit it at Saltaire FC Stadium.
And then you just have all these little things coming out, all these little damning pieces of evidence, and you're just wondering what's happening. And then MLS puts out their first statement.
Yeah.
Basically condemning it, but not. It's very
soft.
It
was the perfect PR statement.
Yes, but it
soft,
was soft.
But when are those not soft, right?
Right.
The thing about that statement is, I guarantee you that the Athletic reached out to them for a statement.
Mm-hmm.
So they know it's coming.
Well, they reached out for a statement because that statement was in the article.
Oh, I haven't read
both the MLS and the NWSL statement.
Good.
So to me, that says they gave MLS a warning because the MLS's second statement was much more damning.
Well, because the article came
exactly.
out.
Exactly. So it's funny to see that, okay, like, this sucks. Like, let's see if we can work around it to, oh boy, we have a problem on our hands. That could get real ugly.
Yes. And it's just the surface.
It's just the surface.
It's so wild.
I feel like we're forgetting so much, but there's just so much done back here.
Yeah, and I think we're hitting the major notes.
Yeah.
So between the Natum interview, and between the Deloitte interview at 3 o'clock.
Which was just absolute
right.
malarkey.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, but think about this. So, like, Andy Williams is on.
Which I couldn't watch. It was so, it kept timing out.
It's insane. Bomb after bomb after
right.
bomb.
Should we talk about Andy Williams' comments?
Yeah.
Let me pull him up here.
So, Andy Williams has, we mentioned this at the top, has not heard from anyone at the organization for weeks, maybe months. And today he decided it was time to
He's been tweeting a little bit, like, something's coming.
Yeah. He goes in hard in the Sam Stasekull interview.
But even the one with Tom,
he really drops some bombs. So, Joshy?
I'm just going to do a couple.
Sure.
Andy Williams. He's never invested in the team. He doesn't spend. Scouting doesn't exist. I don't go anywhere. My staff doesn't go anywhere. We watch soccer like everyone else on TV. With him saying that, that's crazy. He doesn't invest in scouting. He's not trying to improve the team currently. He's trying to spend the least as it is to survive, which is sad. The fans here deserve a lot better. Weird. It's like we've been calling this out for years.
Yeah.
And to get the excuse of, we're a small market, we don't get a lot of revenue, this, that, the other. I don't care.
Yeah. Funny thing, this morning, Andy Williams got a phone call asking him to come back to the team, to fly to Ukraine, and get a $10,000 bonus.
Weird.
Timing, right?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
My VP of soccer operations, who I have not spoken to since April.
Rob Zarkos.
April.
Yep.
I got furloughed in April, and today was the first day he texted or tried to call whatsoever. Apparently he says his messages didn't go through. I think that was just damage control, which is sad to say, to be honest. Absolutely was damage control. You don't to send something in July and say that, oh, it hasn't gone through.
When was the last time you sent a text that didn't go through that you didn't try and resend and resend and resend and call and, like, send an email,
this is a
Facebook, Instagram
this
message.
This is a job, right? This isn't just a, hey, what's up, buddy?
And it's also a legend. He's a club legend.
Right, but as we can tell, this administration of ownership does not care about club legends.
This administration. I love it.
It's been in demise for a while. I'm not holding back anything right now. Mr. Hanson Deloitte, I don't think he wants to win anything. I think it's maybe a tax write-off for him. To be honest, it's tough seeing where we were. I've been here since 2005. Back in 2005, we were the worst. Moving forward to that 2009 championship, best team in MLS ever. Ever since he's taken over, it's been cutting budget, staff. It's just not been the greatest. Yep.
Yep.
If you've been a fan of this team, you've seen it.
Yeah, the funny thing is the team tends to brag about operating lean.
It's because they do it intentionally.
Yeah. It's cheap.
Yeah.
You're not efficient.
Right. And honestly, you've been lucky.
And not. And frankly, not.
Right.
And this is the conversation we had earlier this week with the team. Because I guess this is on record now. Like, my major complaint is, like,
how does this help us win a championship?
It doesn't.
It absolutely doesn't.
To finish third last year.
Yeah. And like
cool.
to say like, oh, well, we finished third in the West.
You got one win in the playoffs. Congratulations.
Yeah, and finishing third in the West is not something to be super proud about.
No.
God.
In 5 years, I'm not going to remember that we finished third in the West.
It makes me so mad.
When the highlight of our seasons is Demir Krylov scoring a cool goal.
Yeah.
What are we spending money on? Why do we care at this point?
It's fine. Go on.
Any meeting with him, it's always positive. You're doing great. The team's doing this. We're going to do that. When push comes to shove, it doesn't happen. It's not what he says at all whatsoever. I think he's more interested in collecting pennies.
Zing!
Boom! It's like, RSL shows on point. Like I said, I haven't been there since April, so I would assume. I've spoken to Nadim a couple times since this all has gone down. I don't want to say my backbone, per se, but he's reached out to me on my own. I've never spoken to him face-to-face, but once he heard about our staff being furloughed, he reached out to me point-blank with, hey, Andy, is there anything I can do for you? Can the team help you? He got together a few players, maybe a little team, I don't know. He helped me during this time. So for Deloitte to say they've stabbed him in the back, even though he stabbed his own team in the back by furloughing employees, and left them to take care of the people that take care of the team?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. We really like that word.
When he came here on trial, I can't say he's someone that I can say I brought here, but I didn't know he'd be someone that would help me out a year later. It's a lot worse than everyone thinks it is. Yep.
Can confirm.
This one bums me out.
Uh-oh.
So I haven't heard from my GM, my technical director. I haven't heard from either of them. Even Tony Beltran. Seriously. Assistant GM at the moment. I played with Tony his entire career. He was the first assistant GM in January. Not to hear from him either is shocking to me. I've known Elliot since he was an intern, starting with RSL back in the day. Elliot was an intern in 2006, 2007. I don't know the year. Not even a text or call. That's it. It's shocking. It's sad.
Yep. And what I'm hoping is that they were told not to. That's what I'm hoping.
Right.
And which is a terrible thing to hope. But
at the same time, even if I'm told not to, and this is one of my guys, I'm having a side conversation.
Oh, for sure. So, actually, we were trying to get Elliot on the show for Monday. And
he's not going to be able to. The dust settles. I mean,
not this Monday, this last Monday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can I say it?
Mm-hmm.
I respect the hell out of Elliot. I know most of those guys are put in really untenable positions all of the time.
Right. Well, and it's most likely a you do this or you don't have a job.
Exactly. And I think we're at the point where a lot of those people are going to choose to not have a job unless Deloitte Hansen is removed.
That's the hope.
I hate that because I want those guys to have jobs and
sure.
make money.
But it's like us with covering.
Yep. But times 1,000.
Right, because it's their livelihood.
Yeah, and how do you be, well, we can talk about that later, but like I know for a fact that there isn't a single person in the office right now for Real Salt Lake that feels comfortable telling Deloitte Hansen no for fear of losing their jobs or from being absolutely demeaned and ridiculed in front of the rest of the organization.
Yep.
Period. I've seen it with my own two eyes.
Yep.
Boy.
Okay. I'm going to skip a few lines here just because he just spits a lot of truths on the fire.
Okay.
But this one I really appreciated from him because this is what I want for him.
Yeah.
If they offered 100%, I've been here forever. I only want to see the best for this club. I love this team. I love the fans here. I love this state entirely. But I have to do what's best for me and my family. I've been working on my resume for the last 2 weeks, and I've started sending it out to people. But I don't know what's going on. If you look on the website for RSL, I'm still the head scout. I'll always be here no matter what. 5, 10 years down the line. This is the team that made me, and I want to give back no matter what.
Yep.
Breaks my heart, man.
Breaks my heart.
Between this and Nadim saying he doesn't feel safe here, which I don't blame him, saying he doesn't want to play for Deloitte, it just, who's going to want to come?
I don't know.
Who's
I don't know.
Want to play? If I were a player and my agent was like, hey, RSL's interested, Google RSL and this is what you see?
Mm-mm.
No.
Pass. Gone.
Nope.
It's the same thing. Like, if you're looking for a new job, you go look at Glassdoor to see what the reviews
right.
of the CEO are. If the reviews of the CEO are an Athletic article where he talks about lynching a player.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, that's what he said.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there after this.
I want to cry.
All right.
Oh, my God.
I'll just read the rest of this.
Okay. I'm going to take a nap.
I just think we need an owner that's willing to invest in players. I'll give it up to Deloy. New academy, all that stuff out in Herman. That's the best thing ever. Royals, too. You add them? But I think we need someone who wants to win, first and foremost. Agreed. And is willing to provide players or money to get players that can be in that process. When I was there, it was, here's what we have to do to spend. Sorry, I'm really bad at reading.
You're good.
I was horrible at school. It's a needle in a haystack. It's throwing darts on a wall. This guy's good. He was good a year ago. It's sad, and it's frustrating to me as a former player and scout. My job is to make this team better. If I'm not given the tools to do that, it's not that great to me. No, we have a conversation every year, 3 months, about budget for players. When it comes down to the line, it's like, oh no, I'm not going to spend that. You're working your way through that year, 6 months, when it comes down to certain players, and all of a sudden, no. We've been offered players for free that would have benefited this club, and all of a sudden it's, nah, I don't want to pay their salary. If you look at Demir, you look at Albert, we spent money. We brought good players because scouting was decent. But if you look, we still don't have a number 9 who's consistently playing. We haven't had the budget to spend for a number 9. We don't even have the option. We just keep shooting ourselves in the foot. We've been lucky, Albert, Demir, Everton, Nathan, at getting those guys that have produced. That's not just because of scouting. That's total luck.
It's just insane.
That's what we've been saying.
It's insane, man.
The man does not want, contrary to what he says on the radio, he doesn't want to build a good team.
No.
He wants the team to exist.
Yes.
Just exist.
Yes.
He wants to be able to bring whatever deal he's looking to make to a game and be like, I own this. You should work with me. That's it.
Basically. I know. So then, Deloy goes back on the radio and issues a soft, soft, softy soft apology, followed up by Natum going on the same radio station.
Burning him to the ground.
Burning him down again. If you haven't listened to either of those interviews, you ought to.
Yep.
And at the same time, that's when Andy Williams goes on KSL. And then, shortly thereafter, Sam Stagecoal and Paul Tenorio and
Meg Linehan.
Chris Camerani.
All of them.
Drop a bomb of an article.
Fire the torpedo. Sink the Titanic. Let's go.
So a little background. Sam used to work here. Chris covered the team for years.
The trivia.
Both of them have personal experience dealing with the kind of stuff that we're talking about from Deloy Hansen and around RSL. This article, like we mentioned, has been in the works in one form or another for more than a year, and is a very small cross-section of what is happening or has happened at the team.
There's 4 or 5 examples in here. I can think of another 10.
Easily.
Just off the top of my head that I've heard about over the years.
Well, and the tweets that have come out today from people, the messages we've received from people, it's dozens.
It hurts my soul.
Yeah. So we're going to chase a bunch of those down this week. It's going to be super fun. I'm going without the burner phone this time. We're just going
to go for it. I mean, well, now it's out.
Yeah.
So we don't have to really tippy toe.
No. It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend too much time on the article. I think everyone should go read it. If you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, they don't sponsor this podcast. It is $4 a month. That
it's
is
very
well
worth
it. Specifically and almost exclusively because we want this kind of reporting in the United States.
Right.
Period.
And they cover every sport.
All the sports. And it's the best reporting in the country right now. So, a couple of highlights. Deloy Hansen said that we should lynch Kellen Acosta because he scored a goal on us. And I'm saying that very bluntly because he was introduced to Kellen Acosta by Craig Weibel. And Craig just said, hey, Deloy, this is Kellen Acosta. He's one of the guys who scored a goal against us last night.
Mm-hmm.
And Deloy's response was, well, Craig, when are we going to lynch this guy? If you don't know Kellen Acosta? Black soccer player.
Yep.
Not good.
Nope.
He also used the N-word
multiple times,
referring to and in front of Andy Williams.
Mm-hmm. Asking someone if that's how they speak African.
Yeah. Go read the article.
And that's not getting into the sexual assault allegations, the misogyny, which is just as bad. And It's disgusting. This guy is disgusting.
You're so tired, you said misogyny.
Misogyny. I'm tired.
Yeah. So the important thing to remember there is that the article is the tip of the iceberg. And in response to that article, Major League Soccer has initiated a formal investigation that will likely find more stuff.
You said they initiated an investigation, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought I heard. But
yeah, you're good.
I was reading another article.
You're fine. Royals players that have had things happen to them.
Pissed.
Current employees that have had things happen to them. Former employees that have had things happen to
them.
The
only
former players
is the Monarch side.
I think they're insulated. I really do.
I think so, too. I'm going to dig a little more on that tonight.
Yeah. And
but
I think we have some inroads there.
Absolutely do.
So here's the other thing about all these players, though. If you think about it, especially the Monarchs, where do they all live?
In his house.
In his housing. Yeah. In his apartments. Right? If you're a Royals player, who pays for your car? Deloitte.
Yep.
Ford. Right?
Yep.
I don't know. It's just a cluster of information. I typed nonstop today. I was on the phone and typing
mm-hmm.
nonstop today. And we barely scratched the surface in this podcast. Where I think the crux of all of this lies, and where I think fans have power, is in our response to hold the people accountable. Oh, hell. Hold on.
Has it not been recording?
No, it is. I think my screensaver just turned on. Balls. Oh, still recording.
Okay, cool. Can you imagine if we lost this?
Man. Thing? Luckily, like, this laptop, better than that laptop for some reason.
Less stickers.
Yeah. So, I think the bigger thing is that the power lies in the fans to hold the team accountable.
To cancel your tickets, to not spend a cent on a jersey, not spend a cent on buying a ticket for a single match, putting pressure on the sponsors.
Speak up,
yeah.
Right? If you if you don't want this kind of a guy owning your soccer team, because even though he thinks it's his,
it's ours.
It is the community's soccer team.
Without us,
it's nothing.
Doesn't exist.
It's nothing.
Right.
So if you call and cancel your season tickets, tell them why.
Yep.
If you have a problem with this and you want to keep your season tickets, which I totally understand,
keep them.
Call and tell your season ticket rep you have a problem with this. The number is on is everywhere.
Yep.
Call them. Talk to people. Write letters. Write emails. We're not going to stop.
No.
This is now.
I'm done.
Yeah, and frankly, like, we've heard that he's not going to have the team for much longer. But
who's to say, right?
But who knows what happens? So we have to keep the pressure on.
Yeah, no, this can't be a one-day freakout and just forgotten.
No, absolutely not.
They can't go play in Portland and we just forget.
Yeah.
I hope they say we don't want to play in Portland.
Yes. I'm torn, but yes.
Right. But, like, in order to keep the pressure on, we don't want to play in Portland.
But
they should wait until he pays for their charter flight.
Yeah. I think that the MLS investigation puts a lot of pressure on, and the conversations that will happen tomorrow.
Yeah. And I think if there is an investigation, that gives the players more reason to play because they're someone's taking action.
Yeah.
Right?
Along those lines, part of the tweets that came in today were Donovan Mitchell, Jozy Altidore, Nick Raimondo,
Royce
O'Neal,
Jordan Clarkson,
Ryan Smith from Qualtrics, all saying they would want to buy the team.
Yeah.
So let's go.
Let's go. Twitter questions.
Oh, shit. We have questions?
Yeah, I tweeted that earlier.
All right, let's do it.
Kyle Sippel, what's the context of this recording? I let him know that it was a match review. Transfer rumors, etc.
So, did I send you that? I think I did. When I texted Andy Carroll about coming on tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what's the context of this?
Oh, by the way, we were supposed to have Andy Carroll for those that had bets. He did not show up.
Yeah.
Shocker, right?
I mean,
would he? At this point, if you were Andy Carroll, would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
But what are you going to say that makes this any better without getting yourself fired?
Get fired.
He's not going to do that.
I know, but like the, it's just the whole thing's ridiculous. It's fun.
For Lucas Moeller, thoughts on RSL's attacking woes? I think Andy Williams covered that pretty well in the article. We're not spending money. Shocker.
Nope, not at all.
Dad Ricky, I think our four-goal performance at Colorado is a sign of good things to come. Also, DLH out. I hope you're right. I hope the players use this as motivation, right?
Yeah.
Matt Montgomery is very tired. Alex Mower, Nadim for president, Bama VP. I support this 100%.
I am dying at these, dude.
Spencer Warren, bath bombs, bath salts, or bubble bath. What are your preferences?
Hold on. I want to talk about this one.
I do too.
Are you saying bath salts, the drugs?
Right,
because
that was my question. Am I taking the bath salts or am I sitting in the
salts? I have questions, buddy. I prefer Epsom salt over bath bombs. That's my personal opinion.
I'm going to go... I've never tried bath salts, the drug form or the
I was about to say, Joshy, we need to have a serious conversation.
I'm going
to
go bubble bath.
All right, bubble bath.
I remember the good old days of Monday when I was thinking of asking you guys questions about the Colorado game. That's from Eric Walker.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate Prime, new ownership. We can only hope. James, just tired of the constant letdown from the front office of the club. It's time for a change. We all know that. Thanks for covering the shit show. Absolutely. Next time, include hashtag sorry, Bill. We have a lot. I'm impressed. I'm reading all these. You know what? I'm doing it. Matt, how often do we even start to support this club after, how do we even start to support this club after today? Love the players and all they're standing for, but I think there's a cancer in the club and I can't support it until it's gone. Yeah, I think we've covered that for the last
hour and change. Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's see. I'm trying to find this tweet.
So I
think that's the bigger thing is finding what you personally. This is where I hate everybody being like, cancel your season tickets. I don't believe in that. There's 200 people that work there. Like, I'm probably going to cancel mine, but if you don't want to cancel your season tickets, don't.
But
find
a different way to
advocate. Yeah.
Can we talk about the $3 million they lost in ad revenue?
That's amazing.
That's a chunk.
Yeah. Similarly, when Mike Petke had his little tire
they lost
a bunch of money.
You know, and for Matt, for your tweet, I've actually been thinking about maybe Saturday, the RSL show, and talk to Andy about Salter FC, do something during the game to where we can all kind of be a community, right? Maybe we do a pickup game or something and we get together and protest our own way.
Yeah.
By not watching the match, but still enjoying soccer and enjoying the guys.
Very possible.
Playing in the trap.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it later.
See if there's even a game.
Merle says, if sold, does the team stay in Salt Lake City? I get all the infrastructure here, but curious. I think so.
I think so as well.
Tyler Smith, on a note different from the main topic of the day, how different do you think RSL would be today if they had hired Robin Fraser instead of Jeff back after Jason left? Honestly, with the ownership, I think every coach's hands have been tied, and I don't think, outside of racial comments by Mike Petke, anything's any different.
I agree.
Lindsay Walker.
Josh is nailing these questions.
Hey, you know, you guys know how much time, money, laughs, beers, broken tables. Broken tables! Yeah. We have honored to be a fan. To have one man dismantle it in a short radio interview beyond other accounts on record just makes me heartbroken and disgusted. DLH out.
Yep.
I agree wholeheartedly, Lindsay. And I miss away trips in Denver. Ryan Bohm, thoughts on that potential bombshell Josie dropped today? I think Josie is legitimately involved in an investment group, and if they contact the right people, I think that's something to keep an eye on.
Haas will take over.
Soccer Amaretto Lime. I like that name, a little brand newy.
That's great.
Imagine the Josie investment group comes in and wants to move RSL to New Orleans. They become Real New Orleans, and SLC gets a new expansion team. We can claim our rightful name of Union SLC or Highlanders SC. I've been dreaming of this moment for years.
And then Bob said Salter FC.
Right. But I'm also going to say that if that was the case, it would be like the reverse Jazz, right?
Yeah. I also think we should take into consideration Golden Spikers.
Or the goals.
Yeah, the goals. Or
but
the,
like
the
goals,
freeze.
But goals. Like mm-hmm. Seagulls, but goals.
Ooh, I like that one too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, fighting brains for life.
Yeah. Sorry, Highlanders, I'm Salter till I die.
There you go.
I am the one with the Salter tattoo, after all.
Yeah, that's fair.
Draper, you. Any good therapist recommendations? Seriously, first and foremost, Nadim is a superstar. He absolutely crushed his interview on 700. If MLS doesn't plan to alleviate DLH of his ownership role, time for RSL organizer groups to stage boycotts.
On it.
Fully agree, and I think that's in motion.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah, just...
Oh, boy.
Keep your ears up and your eyes on Twitter, folks.
Yeah, tomorrow's going to be fun.
Curtis Daly, unfortunately, I don't believe DLH will be leaving. I think the only way it happens is through the players not playing, not training, demanding transfers, and that's a tough ask.
Let's get the next one.
Curtis, I think a little bit of what you... Hold on, let me rephrase this. I think DLH goes, and I think a little bit of what you're saying needs to happen happens.
Agreed.
We've already had a player say he won't play.
Yeah.
Even though we did kind of say he would play. But Chez, I want DLH out, but I fear that means losing the team in Utah. Any thoughts on how we get what we want without losing our beloved RSL? I really don't think the team moves. It's really hard to get property for stadiums, property for the academy we have. We have three teams that would be involved with this deal.
Yeah, I think
most likely. I just think there's too much here. And I think we're an established fan base. We don't struggle with attendance. We don't struggle with season tickets. I don't think the league would be smart to move us. And I think a lot of local people want to keep us here.
That's the one.
Keep your head up. Don't fear that. Want change. Don't be afraid of change because you think we're going to lose the team.
Yeah, think of Columbus and the stink that they put up.
Right.
And finding local.
Just,
like the second you find a local ownership group that's willing to keep the team in market, they're going to go for
that's
it.
That's fine. Sam Omer, nothing to say here other than I can't believe it's finally happening. I think we all thought this could happen, but actually here we have soccer's version of Donald Sterling is nutty. Absolutely. Brandt, how many season tickets were canceled today?
A lot. We're thinking in the neighborhood of hundreds.
Right. It could be more.
Right.
I honestly don't know. Kelly, I'm obviously in the minority, but I think this interview has been taken out of context with one-line quotes. Regarding the full interview modified my perspective on the matter. I hope more people will read the full interview and informed opinion for either perspective. I really think you should go listen to this interview and listen to the tone. If you've made it through this entire show, you're probably disagreeing with us wholeheartedly. I do respect your take, but I also have to disagree.
Yeah.
And I think Jake Ford...
I didn't.
So many things.
Go read the Athletic article.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't read the Athletic article and the Andy Larson thread, which the thread I can verify that I knew about most of those, so they're not just getting made up.
No.
I don't know how you can support this man.
No, I heard the same Market Star story 10 times
mm-hmm.
3 years ago.
Yep. Got one more.
So I just want to respond to that one.
Okay, go ahead.
So Kelly, I get where you're coming from. In fact, I think it's hard because I think Josh and I are so deep in the behind the scenes of this stuff that when we hear that interview, things start to happen in our brains and we start connecting the dots of all the stories that we've heard about Deloitte. So I get it. I really do. I genuinely would encourage you to go read the Athletic article. Sign up for a trial. Go read it,
mm-hmm.
right? I really think that is the much more damning version of all of this.
I agree. Last one. Is it possible to support a club but not its owner? Sorry, I read that weird. Is it possible to support a club but not its owner? Not financially, but emotionally. Can someone still love their club despite being owned by a POS?
Absolutely.
100%, yes, you can. That's the same issue I've been trying to tackle all day. But at the end of the day, the players are our players. They aren't the owner. You can support them if you want. I mean, it's so hard.
Yeah, no, it's a fine, fine line.
It's a very fine line because I want to watch the game if they play Saturday, but I also don't want the ratings to be high.
No.
Right? I don't want sponsorship money coming in from those ratings.
It's
very hard.
I think the bigger thing is be vocal, speak to your reps, and then keep an eye on what happens the next couple of days because maybe
everything could
change. Don't worry about it. Yeah,
Deloitte could be gone tonight.
Yeah,
and we don't have to worry about it anymore. We can all call our season ticket reps back and say, "Never mind, put them back in."
Yep.
Right. We could all be at the game next Wednesday and be one big happy family again and breathe a sigh of relief and some fresh air. It's just hard to say.
Yep.
We just have to keep our faith in this process, right? That's weird to say.
I know.
But, you know, we got to just hope that the league does the right thing. I imagine the league's reading the reaction. They're probably seeing the sponsorship money and the season ticket holders drop off. I imagine they're feeling pressure after that athletic article especially. And I do think they'll do the right thing. I think there are good people with a lot of money that can keep RSL here. And, you know, I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah. I mean, RSL till I die. Deloitte Hanson out.
Yep. And Black Lives Matter. Homies.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading Doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.